You heard the possibility that God had considered sending three wise women instead of three wise men. And if he had, of course, they would have stopped to ask for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have prepared the stable, cleaned it, you know, put nice things in it, some nice decorations. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have made a casserole. And they would have bought nappies as a gift instead of perfume. God bless women. You know there was a fourth wise man, don't you? But he bought fruitcake, so they left him out of the Bible. So he didn't make it. Alrighty, I got some thoughts for Christmas today. What have we got to be careful of when we talk about Christmas is romanticising Christmas. The manger, you can put a light on that for me, Harry, if you would. The feeding trough was not a great place to be. I imagine it could have been some vermin in there, fleas, whatever else. The cows didn't moo along with the angels singing. The drummer boys didn't turn up. So it was a different deal, and it was not a pleasant place. Mangers, if you've ever been in a stable, that's where the animals are, and that's where they do whatever, and there's smell associated with it. But we romanticise it, and we see in the beautiful little scenes of the Nativity how glorious it is. Well, I'm not trying to knock it. I think we ought to have a heart for the things that have happened, but we want to be careful we just don't take it and romanticise it and pretend that this is what it really was. You know, the greatest gift of Christmas, or the greatest gift ever given, wasn't placed under the tree, it was placed on the tree. And that's what Jesus came to do. And we say, is this the day of his birth? Well, not really. It is believed that Jesus was born around the end of September, but it doesn't matter that there was a day. It matters that there was a time that God sent his son into the world. He promised that there would come a saviour for mankind, not just for the Jewish race, but for all of it, all of us. And celebrating today is special. I think Christmases, I'm a believer in the soon return of Jesus Christ, which means there's not a lot of Christmases left. And I'm thinking, what if it was today? And I thought, Lord, please wait till after lunch. I just would like to enjoy what all those ladies have worked so hard to prepare that we can enjoy. And then we can go, can't we, Marnie? We can leave then with a good full tummy and a great sense of Christmas behind us, perhaps with our Christmas hats still on. Who knows? But let's talk about Christmas presents for a moment, because they're big. Have you considered, I was thinking the other day, what's the best Christmas present I ever received? And I was thinking back through that, and you know, the one that really stands out for me, sorry honey, we've had 52 Christmases together, and my wife's given me wonderful Christmas presents over the years, and I was trying to think of some the other day and I couldn't think of any, but but they were great at the day, I remember. The greatest Christmas present I remember was a bike. I was 8 years old. And I was riding the neighbourhood bikes, borrowing them. I'd ride the girls' bikes if necessary to get a ride. And I just loved riding bikes. And then my dad bought me one. It was a second-hand one. This is not long after the Second World War. He painted it up. It was beautiful. And to me, that was the greatest gift. Why? Because now I had a liberty to ride around on my own bike. Didn't have to ask to borrow one. Didn't have to return it. And so it was like that. I mean, my first car pales into insignificance compared to the first bike. But what about you? Was there a life-changing present that you received at Christmas? Apart from, of course, the Lord, we don't want to put him aside. But can you think of a present that was so special? And usually it's associated with our younger years, isn't it? And that's why Christmas is so special for our children. Last Christmas, we were in the US and spent it with family there. It was a great day. If you can imagine, yes, it was cold weather and there was snow on the mountains, but all the trees had no leaves. It was dark, it was raining, and you know, I thought, give me a nice sunny day for Christmas, I'll take that. However, I would like to be in snow for Christmas one year. We're visiting our granddaughter in November for her birthday, and we decided that we would buy her Christmas present then, and she picked it out. she picked what she wanted. I suggested a few things. No, she knew what she wanted. And so she picked it out. It was great. And we wrapped it up and put it under the tree. And I mean, for kids, that's a bit of a painful thing, isn't it? Looking at that present, she knows what it is, but it's a promise from her grandparents. This is yours, you'll have this. She's been asking her mother for weeks, can I open it? Can I open it? Of course, Jen says, no, you have to wait for Christmas Day. How cruel. We parents are so cruel, aren't we, doing that? My wife loves presents, and certainly in her younger years, she would search the house to find out what presents were coming and rattle them and check them out. I guess a lot of us do that too, don't we? But gifts under the tree are like the promises from family, friends, whatever. We don't know necessarily what's contained in the wraps box with the card attached and the bow, but we know that somebody special cares for us and chose the gift and that it comes with love. Of course, that is what we're talking about when God gave Jesus. Was a special gift. It was wrapped for us and it comes with love and care from God the Father. But what is Christmas? Christmas is a promise. You see, when Jesus came, there were many Old Testament prophecies about him, and I just want to read you a scripture from Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 that says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." They're the names assigned to Jesus. But you've got to take a prophecy as a promise. It's not a guarantee that it's going to happen. Let me just explain. When he was born in Bethlehem, it was the activation, if you like, of the promise that a son would come, that he'd be born in Bethlehem to a virgin. Who would conceive him by the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't the fulfillment of the promise. You see, the cross was the fulfillment of the promise. And so Jesus went from a manger to a cross. Where's my crosses, Harry? We were practicing. There we go. There's the cross. But between the manger and the cross, there was a time where Jesus had to be proved. He had to be tested. Why? Because he had to be absolutely sinless to take our sin. Otherwise, he was the same as us and it would have been all over. God would be forever separated from his son. We would be forever lost and it would just be terrible. But thank God, he didn't have an evil thought. He didn't say an evil word. He didn't commit an evil act in any way. And he went through to be a sinless savior. The manger was the promise, but the cross was the fulfillment, and the gap was necessary. Jesus had to be tempted. In Luke chapter 4, verse 2, the scripture tells us that, it just says that Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the desert by the devil. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it talks about how Jesus was born, and it came that the shepherds were in the country minding their flocks. The angel of the Lord stood before them, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for I behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour." He was born a Saviour. That's what they declared over him in faith. Who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. But we go on then to the temptations. We know that Jesus was tempted by the devil. He was tested. In Hebrews 4:15, it says this about him. "For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Here's the crunch. Jesus was born, prophesied about thousands of years beforehand, came, born in Bethlehem, born and placed in a manger. Wise men turned up, brought him the gifts that they brought before him. The shepherds came to the manger to see him there and to see the promise. And so he was born in a lowly place. And shepherding was a lowly business in those days. And so the lowly people turned up, but also the kings, the wise men of the East, arrived to proclaim him as well. They recognized this was a gift of God. So Jesus was tested, he was proved, he was shown to be without sin, and he went to the cross on our behalf. And so the greatest present that you can ever unwrap is what God gave, which was Jesus. And for me, I can still recall the day 52 years ago, which is next month, when I opened that present, the peace and joy that I felt. It was the best present that I have ever received. You might ask, how do you unwrap God's gift? Well, in John chapter 1, verses 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." Receive, believe. "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Here's the thing. We're born of the will of God, into the kingdom of God, into the life that God brings and gives us. That's the most exciting thing. And folks, today we face eternity. And it won't be long when we'll step into eternity. That doesn't mean I'm wishing you dying, but just a reality. Jesus is coming soon. The end of the world that we know will come in not too distant future. And I'm not trying to be expounding a conspiracy theory. I'm just trying to share a thought with you, which the scripture shows us. And so it's important how we live our lives, that we take the gift. And, you know, I guess over the years you get gifts and then they get given away or thrown away. We just don't keep hanging on to too much stuff. But this gift, we need to get out regularly and say, what a beautiful gift. What a wonderful gift that God has given us. How we can live through, in, and by that gift. And I just pray that this Christmas for you will be such a special day that the reality of Jesus Christ will burn in your hearts and that the glory of God shining upon you will bring out life that others can experience. And we do pray that earnestly in Jesus' name. And so why don't we stand? We're going to conclude. Thank you, our worship team. Thank you, worship team, for coming this morning. They're all here early, practicing, getting ready. Just bring her up with you. Pilly, don't worry. She'd love to come up. Who'd like to see Essie on stage? There you go. She's great. Amen. Well, we're going to sing together and then let me pray for you, then we'll sing. And as we finish the song, please be released. You are welcome share some fellowship before you go, but otherwise go home. Have a great day of Christmas and may the blessing of God be. Now we've upset Essie. No, because her dad left her. You're mean, Apilly, that's all I can say. Come on, sweetie, come up here and be with Daddy. It's Christmas. Isn't she gorgeous? Eh? Hey, at the end of the day, on Christmas Day, it's about kids in many ways, isn't it? Amen. Thank you, worship team. Please sing for us. I'm just going to pray, guys, and then you sing, okay? Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ who came as a promise into Bethlehem and then went to a cross on Golgotha to fulfill that promise. And through that gift, we stand on this Christmas day with such a heart of thanks to you in the life that you've given us through Jesus Christ. May that be the portion of every person here today. May the reality of the cross burn in our hearts and the reality of your great love rest upon us as we celebrate this day in various ways, however we celebrate it. Just pray, Lord, your precious presence be with us that we might have the joy of Jesus Christ burning in our hearts. We thank you, Lord. I bless each person in the name of Jesus today. Amen.